for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, May the 5th, 2000. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook, Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the morning.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Jesus, we bless you and we praise you today, Lord. Thank you for this day, my Father. Hallelujah. Lord, bless the word as it goes forth. Help your people to understand. Give us understanding, Lord God. Quicken us by the Holy Spirit, Lord. Again, we submit to the Holy Spirit, Lord. We're nothing apart from you. Lord, we ask that you come and minister through us, Lord Jesus. And we ask that you open our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. First night, we spoke on the Harlot Church. Yesterday, we spoke on the Man-Child Church. And today, I want to speak on an end-time word. I want to go to Matthew 24. Glenn said the storm's coming. How many believe the storm's coming? How many believe God can keep us in the midst of the storm? In Matthew 24, verse 29. No. First of all, look at verse. Look at verse 3. 24:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And notice that one, the sign of thy coming. How many see that?
Yes.
All right, look down to verse 29. He never answers them. He gives them signs, plural. But he comes down to verse 29, then he answers that question. In verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers, I believe these are demonic powers here, of heaven shall be what?
Shaken.
And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all of the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. How many know that's not a secret coming? Next verse. And he shall send his angels, his messengers, with the sound of a trumpet. And that trumpet's a message. And they shall gather together his elect, or his chosen, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Mark says heaven and earth. Okay? Mark 13 says that. Now go to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 in the Old Testament. And let's go there and look at a couple of scriptures together. Daniel chapter 12. How many appreciate the Word of God? Amen. Chapter 12 of Daniel. And look at verse 1. At that time, this is the time of the great tribulation, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble. Now, Jesus said tribulation. Daniel says trouble. Well, how many of you are in tribulation? You're in trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. And that word delivered, one of the meanings means preserve. God can preserve his people. Everyone that shall be found written in the book. So we better make sure we're in the book. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's the two resurrections. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Let's go to Revelation 7. Revelation 7, I want to give you another scripture here on this. Revelation 7 and verse, I want to go to verse 14 without reading all the verses I usually do, but verse 14. And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, or the tribulation of the great, or the great affliction, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Let me thank God for the blood of Jesus today. It's going to this washing and cleansing us. Amen. Now, let's turn over now to a scripture in Revelation 19. I said yesterday there were two suppers. And we taught and touched on one, the first, the supper of the Lamb. But I want to go up to Revelation 19, 17 of Revelation. And how many believe Jesus is coming?
Yes.
He's coming after the tribulation, not before it, not in the middle of it. I was taught He was coming before it. Anybody been taught He was coming before the tribulation?
Right.
You can't find it in Scripture. You can't back it up. Now, I can't back it up because I, you know. But I believe what I was told. But once I got into the Lord and began to study myself, I found there was a lot of things I was told that wasn't right. Anybody else have that problem? Okay, Revelation 19. Look here with me, please, in verse 17. And it says in this verse, the last part, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. How many see that word supper there? Now, in Revelation, there is the supper of the great God, the Bible here talks about here. And there is the wrath of God. There is the great day of God Almighty. And there's the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. I want to say that again. There is the wrath of God. There is the great day of God Almighty. There is the supper of the great God, and there is the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. I'll tell you, how many know God's love, but He's also a God of wrath? And how many know judgment's coming on this nation, and judgment's coming on many nations, even in the days ahead? But we're talking about the end of the age, we're talking about the end of the tribulation, and we're talking about Armageddon. Armageddon is on its way. We're moving towards Armageddon. How many believe that today? Amen? And so, we're going to see. Now, in chapter 19, we'll see it later. It's the supper of the great God. There's an invitation to this supper, invited guests. And then there's a gathering to this supper. And the supper is eaten, of course. And so, we'll look at that. Let's just go ahead and look at verse 17 of chapter 19. Let's go ahead and look at that again. Again, it's called the supper of the great God. And then if you look down to verse 18... He said that you may eat the flesh of kings and flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And then he sees the beasts and the kings and the armies gathered to make war against the Lord. Then if you'll come down to verse 21, the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeds out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So the supper was eaten. They were invited guests to destroy the armies of the nations. And the fowls of the air were filled with all their flesh, the Bible here says. Now, there's a lot of things getting ready to happen. I know, I believe in our nation as well as the world. Now, let's go over to some scriptures now. Let's go over to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. Now, in chapter 14, I'm going to show you there's three different people. The Bible's talking here, and I'm not leaving my subject. We're talking about Armageddon this morning. Chapter 14, verse 1. In 14:1, you'll notice here is a people called the 144,000. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses, and they are God's Witnesses. Amen? And that number is not a literal number. It's a symbolical number. I know there are people who teach it literal, but there's no way it can be literal. It's symbolical. And it's more than a number. It's a nature. But he says in chapter 14, verse 1, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood. The lamb is Jesus. Can you say amen?
Right.
A lamb stood on Mount Zion. The word Zion means the church, militant, and triumphant. That's what it means. And with him, with the lamb, is somebody going to be with the lamb? Anybody want to be with the lamb today?
Yeah.
And with him, notice, 144,000 having the Father's name written in their foreheads. They have the mind of Christ. They're sealed. By God the Father. Amen? Now, God is sealing us by His Holy Spirit. He's also sealing us by His Word. And so we're being sealed by God into our foreheads. Now, look over in chapter 22 just a second, though. And I'm coming back to 21. I can give you many scriptures on the seal, and I won't go into that today. But in chapter 22, I'll give you one more. Chapter 22, verse 3. I believe it is I want. Yes, chapter 22, 3. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face. So there's going to be an intimacy with God and His people. And His name or His nature shall be in their foreheads. How many are glad He's putting something in our foreheads, not just out here on the front? God's putting something in you. Can you say amen? So in chapter 14, we see there is the sealing of the 144,000. Then if you come down to chapter 14, verse 14, here the Lord's coming out on the cloud in chapter 14, verse 14. And he said, I looked and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown. Now in chapter 6, the white horse rider has a crown. Chapter 14 here, there's one crown. But in chapter 19, there's many crowns. And the answer to that is in chapter 4, when God's people throw their crowns at his feet and say, Lord, you're worthy to receive the crown. Amen? But he says in this verse, look at this chapter 14, verse 14. It says here, he was like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap. For the time has come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is what? Help me.
Right.
It's ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. So now you have the 144,000. They're before the throne of God. They're being sealed. Now you have the reaping of the earth here in chapter 14, verse 14, by the one that's on the cloud, which is the Son of Man. And then verse 16, on through 20, there is the third reaping here. Now look at verse 16. He that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth. Verse 17. Another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had the power over fire. And he cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. You don't want to be in this reaping here, do you? No, this is the wicked. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, notice, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even to the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 and furlongs. Praise God. So we don't want to be in that particular reaping, that particular group. But notice, there's the word sickle, there's the clusters of the vine, the grapes are fully ripe, he says here, and grapes are a picture of blood, isn't it? What they produce, wine, you know. And, of course, the vine of the earth is going to be cast into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And that's going to be the wicked trodden down. Now, back to Revelation 19, verse 15. 19:15. Notice this verse here now. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, the word of God, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth, notice now, watch this verse, he, Jesus, he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. So he is going to tread that winepress, isn't he? Amen? That's Jesus. Praise God. Then we go up to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 17. I want to give you a couple of scriptures here now about this wrath of God. Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. Revelation 6:17, the last verse of chapter 6, for the great day of his wrath is come. The great day of his wrath is come. Jesus is coming in the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. And who shall be able to stand? I was taught Jesus would come before the tribulation, take us out for 7 years, and we'd go to heaven and have steak and potatoes and all that good stuff, you know. Then he'd come back after the tribulation and back to the earth. But I'll tell you, the Bible teaches one more coming. And he's coming to the earth. Now go to Acts 1. I want to show you this in Acts chapter 1. Praise God. I can show you many scriptures on it. Acts chapter 1. Look down to verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. How many know Jesus ascended? And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, hallelujah, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall what? Come on, help me now. So come in like manner as you've seen him go. What? He left the Mount of Olives, didn't he? Is that true? He's coming back to the Mount of Olives. Men saw him go. Come on. And men will see him come. And so Jesus ascended. Next time he will descend. And when he descends, he's coming to the earth. He's coming back to the earth, brethren. You've got to see that. Praise the Lord. Doesn't say anything about a rapture there. He ascended. He's descending. He's coming back to the earth to rule and reign here upon this earth. Now, let's go over to Revelation 15. Again, getting back on this wrath of God. Praise God. How many know that wrath of God is being stored up today? Amen?
Yes.
Revelation 15, verse 1 and 2. Now, notice what John said about this wrath. Remember we had just read in chapter 6, "For that great day of wrath has come, who shall be able to stand?" Well, those that are sealed by God are going to stand. But in chapter 15, verse 1, "I saw another sign in heaven." Well, if he saw another sign, he had seen one before. Isn't that right? So he saw another sign, another miracle in heaven, or wonder in heaven. "Great and marvelous, seven angels." And seven is the number of God's spiritual perfection. Seven angels. And I'm going to tell you, I believe these angels are not created beings. I believe these angels are the redeemed of the Lord. And I'm not going to get down and show you that why I'm saying that. But they're angels. "Having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up" what?
"The wrath of
God." Amen? Seven last plagues, seven bold judgments, seven vials full with the wrath of God. Well, how many know if it's full, that's with the wrath of God? I can't even comprehend what that means. Can you? Huh? All right, now look at verse 2. "In the midst of this wrath going to come forth," look at verse 2. "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory," or literally overcome or prevail or conquered. Those that did what? Got the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name. And I teach all that. And I'll show you how that mark is more spiritual than it's natural. Although I don't rule the natural out. But I'm telling you, the mark of the beast is also a spiritual mark. If I had time to get into it, I could show you. Notice, "stand on the sea of glass having" what? "The harps of God." I'm not fearful of a natural mark today if I'm walking with God.
Right.
If I'm being marked by God and sealed by God, I'm not afraid of a natural mark.
Amen.
Come on, help me now.
Yes.
But I want God's mark, don't you?
Amen.
And so right in the midst of the wrath of God, there's a people had overcome the beast. Come on. The beast system. Over the beast, the image, the mark, and the number number of his name or his nature. Okay? Praise God. So somebody's overcoming. Now look in chapter 15, verse 7. "And one of the four beasts," I mean, there were four beasts. "One of the four beasts," and oh, what a message there are in those four beasts. "And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever." Now, let's establish who the four beasts are. How many know that they can represent the four natures of Christ? But I'm going to show you they're also the redeemed. Do you know? You ever seen that in the Bible? I know some don't agree with this, but I can't help it. It's the Bible. Look in Revelation 5. It's not what I think anyway. It's what the Word of God says. And I make no I compromise not the message God's given me for this hour. Praise God. In chapter 5 of Revelation. In chapter 5, I want you to look in verse 5. "One of the elders said to me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne," notice, "and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain." Now notice, the lamb had been slain, but what was he doing? He was standing. He was resurrected. Amen? "Having seven horns, seven eyes," and there's a message in all that, "and all, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now look at verse 7. "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book," now look at this, "when he had taken the book," something happened. The four beasts, everybody say four beasts.
Four beasts.
And everybody say 24 elders.
24 elders.
The four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they," the four beasts and the elders, "sung a new song, saying, They are worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us."
Come on now.
How many see that? "Hast redeemed us to God by thy blood Come on, here it is now, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us,
oh, hallelujah.
Come on now, unto our God kings and priests, and we're going to reign where?
On the earth.
Now turn to Revelation 2. We're going to reign on the earth. Who was speaking there? The beast and the 24 elders. Did you get that?
Yep.
Now look in Revelation 2. They're going to reign on the earth. Revelation 2:26. And he that overcometh, keepeth my works to the end, to him, the overcomer, will I give power over what? The nations. Is that on the earth? Certainly. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, just as Jesus does. We're going to rule with Jesus, under Jesus, if we overcome. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And then he said, I'm going to give that overcomer the morning star. Hallelujah. And so, there is a people going to rule and going to reign as kings and priests, or literally a kingdom of priests, right here upon the earth. We're not going to rule and reign in heaven. We're going to rule on the earth if we're going to be an overcomer. Come on, help me now. And I'm going to show you in Zechariah later how he's going to be king over the earth in that day. Jesus himself. Now let's go to Revelation 16, verse 1. We're talking about this wrath. 16, verse 1. Hallelujah. Chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And then they began to do that all throughout the earth. Now look in chapter 17 and verse 1. 17:1. I read this the other night, the first night, Thursday night. And there came one of the seven angels. Now here's just one of the seven, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I'm going to show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now go to chapter 21 and verse 9. Chapter 21 and verse 9. And John here again talks about one of these seven angels. Remember, they've got the wrath of God. But here in chapter 21, verse 7, there came unto me one of the seven angels, by the same one in chapter 17 that he saw, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Praise God. So those seven angels are going to be very active, if you study all the scriptures, on the wrath of God at the end of the age. Now, let's go to chapter 16 of Revelation. Revelation 16. The sad thing is, many people never study the book of Revelation.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
Amen. Chapter 16, verse 12. Now notice here in this chapter, we're talking about Armageddon now. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. We mentioned yesterday that China, North Korea, and other nations that will be gathered, of course, at this time. Now look at verse 13. How is this gathering going to take place at Armageddon? And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles, notice that, which go forth to the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now, how many know God is going to use demon spirits to gather the nations to Armageddon? Now, isn't that something? False miracles as well. Now, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Jesus has not yet come yet. And yet we've got preachers saying he came in chapter 4. And right here he said, I come as a thief. He hadn't come yet. He hadn't come yet. Blessed is he that watcheth and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Now, there's a message. Now, I could get into all those and preach and talk on all those things there. And he gathered them into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So God is going to use the demonic powers to bring people to that last battle where he's going to destroy many of them. Now, look over with me in chapter 9 of Revelation. Now, look in chapter 9 of Revelation. And verse 12. In chapter 9, verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels. Notice this. Now, these are These are angels that are satanic. They're bound angels. Loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared, now what's this, for an hour, a day, a month, and a year to slay or kill or destroy the third part of men. Now notice, four angels. And if you'll read here in verse 16, the number of the horsemen were 200,000, which is 200 million. There'll be 50 million people under each angel. That's 200 million. There's only one nation that can mass that greater army of today, and that's China. They have that many. Now look in verse 17. Come down to verse 18. And you'll notice by these three, that is by the fire, the brimstone, and the jacinth there. He said by these three things in verse 18 were third part of men killed. But if you go back up here to verse 15, those angels, you see, those angels were bound and prepared for that hour and day and month and year to slay the third part of man. And then verse 8, it tells how it's going to happen by those three things. That's how he's going to kill, or they're going to kill one-third of the population. How many know great destruction is coming up on the earth? Judgments are coming up on the earth. God's people is going to have to get ready. Amen? Get prepared. Well, we're not going to be gone. We're going to be here if we're living. Amen? Amen. I know I was in that escapism teaching for years. Let's go to Joel 3. I'd rather get prepared, wouldn't you, brother? I want to tell you something. A lot of the church isn't prepared. And I wonder if we're prepared. I don't think we are, as we should be. But God's going to have to do a work in us, too. All of us. Nobody can truly stand up today and say he's really fully prepared as he should be. But look here in Joel. Did I say Joel?
Yeah.
Chapter 3. Now we see it here in chapter 3, Armageddon. Verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11. Notice. Assemble yourselves and come, all you heathen. And gather yourselves together round about thither. Cause thy mighty one to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Put you in the sickle for the harvest. Now think back in Revelation where we read this. Put you in the sickle for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down. For the press, there it is, there's that wine press, is full. The fats overflow, are to overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And how many know God's got a lot of people there today in our nation and in the church coming to that place, a valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now notice what time it is. The moon and the sun shall be darkened and the stars shall withdraw their shining. It goes back to Matthew 24, 29 through 31 that I read to you a while ago when we started. And then the Lord shall roar out of Zion. But notice something here, what he says. Look in verse 11. What did he say? Cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Now go to Isaiah 13. Let's see the mighty ones here. How many know we're going to be joined with some mighty ones? Come on, it's on the other side. Isn't that right? Chapter 13, verse 3. Chapter 13, verse 3. I have commanded my sanctified ones, my holy ones. How many of you are being sanctified? God can command you.
Amen.
I have also called my mighty ones, there it is, for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. So God is calling for his mighty ones. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts. Now, we read in Revelation 16, the demons we're gathering the nations together. But here God said, the Lord said, I'm gonna gather muster this host together. Amen, to that battle. Well, how many know God is using demon power to do it? How many know God uses the devil? They come from a far country. From, notice, the end of heaven, even the Lord with the weapons of his indignation to do something? To destroy the whole land. God has weapons of indignation. Is that true? How many believe that?
Yes.
Now, if you don't, okay, well, I'll show it in just a minute. How are you? For the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, every man's heart shall melt. They shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them, he says here. Look at verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel. both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Now, when's this going to take place? Look at verse 10. For the stars of heaven, the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Now go back up there and let's read that again, if you will, in verse 5. The weapons of his indignation. God has weapons of indignation. Now I'm going to show you this in Daniel chapter 2. Let's go to Daniel 2. Hallelujah. Why do you think God's raising us up? To pluck harps and have a good time? Daniel 2:44. Daniel 2:44. What's this verse now? Praise God. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be what? Destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall. Now notice this kingdom of God, this kingdom people, amen, shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand for how long? Amen. So here is this weapons of indignation. It is a kingdom people that's going to break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms. Amen. And God's kingdom, of course, is going to stand forever. Now let's go to Jeremiah 51. Jeremiah 51. And you look in verse 20. Look in verse 20 of Jeremiah 51. Here is God's weapons of indignation. And he said, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces." Notice the word break in pieces again that we saw in Daniel 2. "With thee I'm going to break in pieces the nations. And with thee I'm going to destroy kingdoms. And with thee I'm going to break in pieces the horse, the rider. And with thee I'm going to break in pieces the chariot and the rider," and so forth. Let's go back to Revelation 2. Got to have a lot of fingers.
Yeah.
I'm glad God gave us 10 fingers, aren't you?
Right.
Back in Revelation 2, verse 26, what did he say? "He that overcometh and keeps my works to the end, to him will I give power," what? "Over the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they," the nations, "be broken to shivers, as I received of my Father." So those are God's weapons of his indignation. Amen. And it's in the time of the day of the Lord. It's in the time of Armageddon. God has a people strong and raised up to do his work. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now go to Zechariah 10. I want to show you these mighty ones in Zechariah 10. This is the army of God, if you don't know who it is in Zechariah 10. We say Joel 2, and that's true, but here in Zechariah 10 is also the army of God. And I've taught this chapter many times over the years. It's in the time of the latter rain being poured out. How many know in the time of the latter rain we have to ask God for it? Isn't that true? Anybody want to be part of the latter rain?
Amen.
Amen. And he says that in verse 1. And in verse 2 he talks about idolatry. He talks about diviners, which is the occult and all that's going to be involved at that time. And then verse 3, God says, "Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds." How many believe God's going to judge some shepherds?
Yeah.
Come on, help me now. Don't shout me down. It's true. "And I punished the goats, for the Lord's, Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of praise, the house of Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse." Where did he, notice, in the battle. "And out of him came forth the corner, out of him came the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together." Verse 5, "And they shall be as
mighty
men which tread down their enemies." That's that other horse company. "Which shall tread down their enemies in the mire or the mud of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight." Now here's why God's army is going to fight. "Because the Lord is with them. And the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah," or praise, "and I will save the house of Joseph. And I'll bring them again to place them, and I'll have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them." Now look at verse 7. "And they of Ephraim," means double fruit, "shall be as a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it, and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord." Now look at verse 8. Now listen to what God says here. "I will hiss," or whistle, "for them." How many believe God has a time to bring forth this army together? When God called, the army is going to move in ranks and move together. He said, "I'm going to hiss for them and gather them For I have redeemed them. You could take that back to Revelation 14, 1 through 6, where he's redeemed us from the earth, it says, and from among men. I have redeemed them. They shall increase as they have increased. Come on. How many believers are people growing in the Lord today? And I'm going to sow them among the people and so forth. Now look over in Isaiah 5. Look in Isaiah 5 now. I'm going to show you this hissing here. It's not the serpent either. Isaiah 5. In Isaiah 5, look with me in verses, verse 26, I believe it is. Isaiah 5, 26. Yeah. And he shall lift up an ensign to the nations from far. He will hiss. Here it is. Unto them from the ends of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. So when God whistles, when God begins to call this army, they're going to move with great speed, amen, to do His will. None shall be weary. Oh, hallelujah. And yet some Christians are so beat down. Come on, help me. He said none's going to be weary. None's going to stumble among them. They're going to know where they're going. None shall slumber. No foolish virgins in this group. Nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latch of their shoes be broken, whose arrows are sharp. You're talking about warriors, God's got them. Hallelujah. Amen. Whose arrows are sharp, not at one another, but these arrows are going to go towards our enemy. Can you say amen? And all their bows will be bent. Their horses' hoofs, notice that word, horses' hoofs, shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like the whirlwind. And their roaring shall be like a... Hallelujah, because the great line of the tribe of Judah is going to roar through them. Can you say amen? And they shall roar like young lions. Hallelujah. Amen. This is God's army. This is God's mighty men. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over to Ezekiel 32 just a second. I want to give you this scripture. Amen. I've got 20 minutes yet to preach, so hang on. Ezekiel 30, did I say 32? Okay, Ezekiel 32. Look at verse 2. Now, look at this verse. because we're talking so much today about the sun, moon, and stars and different scriptures. And I want to bring this out here and show you something else. In verse 2, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now, Pharaoh's a picture of who? Come on, help me.
The devil.
All right, king of Egypt. What's Egypt a picture of? The world. Okay? Lust, the eye, flesh, and pride of life. And say to him, thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas, and thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest the rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will... Now listen to what God said He's going to do to Pharaoh, and to who's a picture of the devil here. God says, the Lord says, I will therefore spread out my net. And that word net means networking. How many know God has a networking across the nation and the world? Just like as a computer network, God is a network. And God said, I'm going to spread out my network over thee with a company of many people. And they're going to bring you up into my net, God says. Hallelujah. Now, when's this going to happen? Look at verse 7. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven, make the stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. How many see that? God's got a network. It's going to take care of the devil.
Amen.
I want to be part of it, don't you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, go to Isaiah 63. We see this wine press again. Isaiah 63, verse 1 through 6. And the Lord's asking a question here. He's asking a question in Isaiah 63. He said, who is this that cometh from Edom? With dyed garments from Basra. How many has ever seen Basra on the map there in the Middle East? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore, thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in what? The wine fat. Listen to what he says now. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, trample them in my fury. Their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. How many see all that before he's talking about the raiment here?
Yeah.
Okay? And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation to me, unto me, and my fury it upheld me. I will tread down the people in mine anger. Here is Armageddon. This is the wrath of God. I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk with my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. How many see that? Huh? How many know this is the day of God's vengeance? You know, in Luke 4:18, Jesus quoted what all he was going to do from Isaiah 61, but he never used the word vengeance. How many know Armageddon's the day of God's vengeance? Can you say amen? Amen. And if you'll read on down in the chapter somewhere, I think it says that. Now notice the word Bozrah. He's coming from Bozrah here in this verse 1. Now go to Isaiah 34. It mentions Bozrah again. Chapter 34 of Isaiah. I believe Armageddon is a natural war and a spiritual war. Both. I believe it's worldwide. Sure, it's going to take place in the Middle East, but it's a worldwide. It's like the word Babylon. It's worldwide. But here in chapter 34 and verse 5. Okay. Look in verse 4, actually. And all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. The heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth off the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down from Aduma, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and with the fat of the kidneys of the rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice where? Where is the sacrifice? In Bozrah. And a great slaughter in the land of Adumia. Okay, look at verse 8 now. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompense for the controversy of Zion. So it's the day of the Lord's vengeance, isn't it? How many see that? Praise God. Now go to Jeremiah 35. Go to Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25. Praise God. And you hear it again is the treading of the grapes. Chapter 25, verse 30. And notice the scripture. Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words. Jeremiah is who he's talking to. And say to them, the Lord shall roar. The Lord shall roar from on high. Utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout. How many know he's coming with a shout? As they that tread the grapes, there it is, against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with who? The nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. And thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation. And a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall, that's why I say it's worldwide. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be like dung upon the ground. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourself, and so forth. I'm telling you, God's going to deal with shepherds in the midst of all of this stuff. Can you say amen? So God is treading the grapes again, the wine press. Now look at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. You know, shepherds are not just the local shepherds.
Come on, brother.
Apostles are shepherds. Prophets are shepherds. Teachers and evangelists are shepherds. In Isaiah 66, please look with me. Let's go back to Jeremiah 30, verse 22. I want to give you that verse first. Jeremiah 30. And then we go to verse 22. Praise God. Chapter 30, verse 22. And then we'll go to Isaiah. Behold the whirlwind. Remember he said a whirlwind would go from nation to nation. He said, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury. A continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain. Now notice this verse. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. It's going to give him a headache, all right. There won't be any aspirins to take at that time. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until we have He hath performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Amen. So we see here that this great whirlwind is going to be raised up and it's going to fall on the head of the wicked. I'm telling you, God's going to judge the wicked. Now, if you want to know who's going to be taken out, you get my book on the rapture back there, if you want to. Who said rapture? It's the wicked going to be taken, not the righteous.
Amen.
You study that from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's the wicked taken first, not the righteous.
Amen.
You don't want to be, you know, people say, I'm going to be on that first load. Well, if you are, you're going to be with the wicked. You don't want to be with the wicked. Amen. I've heard preachers say, I'm going to be on first load regardless of what they say. Well, if you are, you're going to be in the wrong group. Look in Isaiah 66. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 66. Do what, Milton? Yeah, one way or another. Isaiah 66 and verse 15. Here's what the Bible says. No, look at this verse now. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury, his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and the sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. How many see that verse? The slain of the Lord shall be many. Now turn to Zechariah 14, and then I'm going to close with Revelation 19. Let's go to Zechariah 14. This is Armageddon. This is when Jesus comes. Oh, hallelujah. How many thank God he's coming?
Oh, yes, amen.
Oh, praise God. We're going to look upon his face. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations. Notice, look at this now. Against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, the houses rifle. The women's going to be ravished. Half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from that city. How many believe there's a lot of trouble coming to Jerusalem? We need to pray for the people of the city of Jerusalem. We need to pray for God's people that are there too. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. His feet shall stand in that day, the day of the Lord now, in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east, towards the west. And there shall be a great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, half of it towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azael. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all saints with thee. Those that are with Jesus, he's going to bring back with him.
Uh-huh.
Now, look down to verse 9. I'm sorry. Look down to verse 6. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. It shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. Now verse 9, and the Lord shall be what? What's he going to be?
King
over the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. Now, come on down in the chapter, verse 12. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fallen against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. They shall lay hold every one on his hand of his neighbor, and the hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah shall also fight. Now look down to verse 15. And so shall the plague of the horse and the mule and the camel and the ass and the beast be, he says here, verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations, well, somebody's going to be left, which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king. This is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up to the, of all the families of the earth. How many know there's going to be rebellion even when the devil's locked in the pit? Because it's in man's heart. Come on, help me now. To worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not as well, they have no rain. There shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now look at the last verse. Well, verse 20, in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses wholeness to the Lord. Verse 21, Now look at verse 21, the latter part of it. What's God going to do? God is going to cut off in the house of God the Canaanite. How many see that? That's the peddler. That's the merchandisers. That's the money people. Just as Jesus cleansed the temple and kicked them out, in the day of the Lord, he's going to clean house again, isn't he? He's going to kick the Canaanite out, come on, of the temple of God, the house of God. How many believe there's going to be some peddlers and merchandisers that's going to be dealt with by God? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now let's close in Revelation 19. Let's go back to Revelation 19. In verse 11. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. John said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. How many believe Jesus is the warrior in us today? His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called, come on, the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, we should read the rest of that. In this little book I wrote, I preached here one time at Lake Hamilton, Behold, he cometh with the clouds. His mount, a white horse. His title, he's faithful and true. He is Almighty God. Amen. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. His warfare in righteousness, he does judge and makes war. He is a warrior. He's smiting the nations. He's going to defeat the armies of Antichrist. Can you say amen?
Amen.
His eyes were like a flame of fire. Can't you see those blazing eyes judging and the wicked that he's going to trample underfoot? His head had many crowns upon it. His name is called the Word of God. His clothing, he has a vesture dipped in blood. And of course, his followers are the armies from heaven. His mouth, a sharp sword goes out of his mouth. And we know he's going to slay the wicked with the sword that comes out of his mouth. His rule, he shall rule them with the nations with a rod of iron. And then his feet will tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. His majesty's name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Jesus, our Savior. Amen?
Amen?
Let's stand and praise Him. Come on. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's give Him a good praise offering this morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We love you. We honor you. We honor you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. We honor your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And I shall strengthen thee, and I shall edify, and I shall build thee up even in the days of ahead. And as you come to me and seek me with all thine heart, I shall be found of thee, saith the Lord. For surely the days ahead are troublesome days, and days of great judgment, and things that will happen. But I, the Lord God, will spare thee. I shall preserve thee. I shall keep thee in the days ahead, saith God. Fear not that which is coming, but fear thou me. For I am in thy midst this day to do a work, saith the Lord. Trust me, believe me, and you'll see a performance of the Lord. For my hand is not short, neither is it slack. That which I said I will do, saith the Lord. So trust and believe, saith God. Amen. Amen. Give Him praise and give Him glory. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have anything to fear but fear itself. Amen.
Amen. Anointed, anointed of the Father, rose of Sharon fair, lily of my valley, lovely is all together lovely. Anointed, anointed of the Lord. Lift your voices and sing it this morning. Anointed, anointed of the Father, rose of Sharon fair. Lily of the valley, lovely is all together lovely. Anointed, anointed of the Lord. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. In him there is no shadow of turning. He is forever the same. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. In him there is no shadow of turning. He is forever the same. He makes the clouds his chariot. He walks upon the wings of the wind. In him there is no shadow of turning. He is forever the same. Can you say amen this morning? He makes the clouds his chariots. Hallelujah. That's Psalms 104. Hallelujah. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanks. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise out of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto you the sacrifices. Sing it! We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer unto you the sacrifices of praise. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. O great and mighty God, great in counsel and mighty indeed, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult. Sing it this morning. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy outstretched arm.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.